Hello, everybody. This is Brett Shishkoff with the new No Look Pass, and I have next to me Mr. Brian Hawkins. How are you doing today there, Mr. Brian Hawkins?
I'm in a sporting mood. How are you?
I am also in a sporting mood. Been waiting for this for a few days, so I'm excited to get started. We've got lots of exciting, at least baseball, going on for Chicago since we have the Crosstown Classic going on, and got some, you know, Bears news, touch on the Bulls briefly, I think, and then we forgot about the Blackhawks last week, so we will try and touch on the Blackhawks a little bit as well. I think we will actually start with, let's go with the White Sox and Cubs.
Yes.
With that Crosstown Classic that we all love here in Chicago. What do you think about the series so far? We've got one game in the bag.
Yeah, last night's game was pretty exciting. I thought for sure the White Sox were going to lose after the Cubs came back and tied it up. But no, as a matter of fact, I turned it off. I was so disgusted they gave up those runs. But I checked back thinking that they were going to go into extra innings, and the news was on. So I thought, wow, the White Sox had to have won. And they did.
They pulled it out in the end, yeah. It definitely has been, at least the last three games, that's been there. The Sox have given up leads in the last inning, and then they've been able to figure out a way to edge out a victory in the bottom of the ninth. So bullpen issues for the Sox, and not only that, having some Chris Sale issues. Taking care of some jerseys that he wasn't entirely enthused about wearing. What have you heard from that situation there, Brian?
Well, as I told you before, I was reading in the Tribune, and he talked about, they talked about, I think it was Colin Kane, talked about the fact that he, Sale, previously had disclosed his displeasure about wearing those uniforms. And he told at least Robin Ventura, but of course, the White Sox, as we went over earlier, have many different uniforms that they wear, and of course they sell those jerseys on their website. So but still, I don't know, it makes me kind of uneasy to think that Chris Sale would take scissors to those uniforms and cut them up like that. I can't imagine that I would do anything like that. I mean, I would be upset, but I don't know, I would try to make the best of it. But I don't know, what do you think about his outburst?
Well, I played baseball as a youngin way back when I was in Little League, and you know, there were certain times where you were uncomfortable, and I was a pitcher, and so you just kind of get through it. And it's not like they were asking him to do it the entire season. It was basically that start, and so maybe moving forward he could have probably handled it a little bit better, but I do know it seems at the very least it's fired up the team a little bit more. Yeah. They've won the last three games since the outburst, so maybe they just needed a little bit of some fireworks in the locker room to wake themselves up, because they definitely, coming out of the All-Star break, have been just sleeping during that series against Detroit. And then there are two other series prior to that. It was rough to watch the Sox play, because they were scoring no runs. Pitching was doing actually their job. They were holding their own, and then the bullpen came in and they would blow some leads or ties that were there. So for Chris Sale himself, I like him as a pitcher. I think he is a great player, and also with Jose Quintana, that's a good 1-2 punch that it'll be interesting to see what the Sox decide to do moving forward. Sale said that he would like to stay a Sox, but, you know, players like to say that stuff just to kind of promote themselves for possibly another team move. But if they do trade him, they're asking for quite a bit, which is understandable, because pitching, good left-handed pitching, is really, really hard to come by, and he's been good for a long time and really doesn't have any injuries to worry about through his career. So he's been relatively healthy since he's been a White Sox. So he's got a lot going for him. So I understand why a lot of teams are interested in him. And the Sox you know, they're in a division that's been pretty tough, and they're quite a few games behind. Do you know how many games back?
Well, as a matter of fact, I think I do have that here in my little cheat sheet. But, you know, they did reassign left-handed pitcher Carlos Rodon to Charlotte. He's for a rehab assignment.
Okay.
So I don't think Chris Sale is going anywhere anytime soon. Unfortunately, the White Sox bringing up the rear. They're 8.5 games back, 48-50 with 490 percentage. So,
yeah, not great. You definitely don't want to be 8.5 back and behind four other teams in your division, right? Four, yeah.
Well, no, they're the fourth team. They're behind Kansas City, Detroit, and Cleveland. So I think they're going to be sellers, which is kind of sad. But I don't know. That's just been the White Sox. They may have one good season out of 10 and all the rest. They have what looks like a decent team on paper, but then they don't perform.
Yeah, you have to start to wonder what's the reasoning behind getting great talent to a team and them underperforming. Is it, you know, is it Robin Ventura? I don't really think so. Could it be Kenny Williams and the upper management of the team? There's a possibility that they might need a change in the upper management part of things, but will that happen? You never know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
They, you know, whatever Chris Sale has acted out this time with the uniforms and at the beginning of the season when he called the vice president Kenny Williams out, mm-hmm. said he shouldn't come into the locker room because of what happened with Adam LaRoche. The team got off to a great start, and so they need that. But maybe if they could just somehow get that fire and be able to apply it in a more constructive way whenever they need it, they could be all right.
Yeah, and staying consistent for a longer period of time than just you know, first month and a half of the season and then dropping off. Yeah, that consistency is key. You know, we did see a little bit moving on to the Cubs of them, you know, doing pretty good for the first part of the season. They were, you know, best team in baseball for first at least 2 months of the season, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Something close to that. And then, you know, fatigue kicked in, and then the All-Star break came, and it seems to have rejuvenated that team. They've been adding some pieces to their bullpen, which was the biggest part of that team that I was worried about moving forward. And so they just ended up adding Joe Nathan. They also added, I think the gentleman's name is Jeff Montgomery from the Mariners, and then Chapman as well from the Yankees, correct?
Right. And Montgomery gave up the big hit last night that allowed the White Sox to score. But yeah, those three guys. So what do you think of the Chapman signing? Do you think he's going to be effective?
He's got some off-field issues, so we'll see how that goes. I know that he was suspended for
29 or 30 games or something?
Yeah, it was for quite a while for domestic abuse, wasn't it?
Yeah, he hit his girlfriend.
Yeah, so hopefully he can keep that under control. He definitely has a cannon for an arm. He's got some good stuff, and he's able to get some saves. He's got 20 this year, even with the suspension that he had. So that's a pretty good number for missing the amount of games that he missed. So it definitely puts a back-end presence at the bullpen that really had no one that you felt comfortable getting into the ninth inning with a lead, knowing that that guy was going to close it down. So I think with the three that they added, I think it shores up, hopefully, the eighth and ninth innings. Before that, we still, you know, hopefully your starters can go late. You always have your Lester and Lackey and Arrieta and those three are always a strong presence when you have a 1-2-3 punch like that moving into a playoff run. You need that, you know, the three strong pitchers and then a strong back end, and they're definitely shoring that up quite a bit, making that late season push for the playoff run.
And speaking of relief pitchers, did you hear last week the Major League Baseball is thinking about limiting the number of relief pitchers that a manager can use within a game in the interest of shortening the game. Because if you think about it, when I watch baseball, innings 1 through 5 usually fly by, you know. Mm-hmm. But after that point, it gets dragged out, so to speak, because they're constantly changing pitchers. Sometimes they bring a guy in to pitch to one guy. And I understand everything about analytics and all of that, but that's something that they're looking at. Do you think that would be a good idea?
Well, it's always about ratings, and I think that and putting people in the seats. So I understand it. Like, all of the sports seem to be kind of trying to figure out ways of shortening the games, shortening, you know, even if it's figuring out ways of shortening commercial breaks, whatever it ends up being, that's not going to be something that they really want to jump on board with, because that's where they make a lot of their money, is advertising. But the less bullpen guys, I think that's part of the thing that you need to do, but maybe it's even having them warm up a little bit less on the field. Mm-hmm. And basically that could help. Also, how many times the coaches are able to get out there. I think they've just changed that, didn't they? That they have a certain amount of time, and how many times they can go out there, I believe.
And also, there's, I think, a time limit as to how long they can stay out there to talk to the mm-hmm. pitchers. But, you know, it's funny because last night it was obvious that the White Sox starter had lost whatever stuff he had going, I think, into the 6th inning. And I was shocked to see that he came out in the 7th. And I was thinking, this guy should be gone. Mm-hmm. But he was still pitching. And I think he got knocked around a little bit and gave up a run or two. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, if you have to be careful, you might wind up leaving a guy out there who obviously doesn't have his best stuff and he should be taken out.
Right.
So I don't know. I hope they can come to some agreement. I'm somewhat of a purist, and I don't want them to mess with the game too much, because I think people need to adjust to baseball, not the other way around. Because mm-hmm. baseball is a leisure time sport.
Right.
And, you know, you go there and you relax. And, you know, you have a good time, and it's not based on any clock. So you sort of have to take that in consideration. But when you consider football and basketball and everything else, that people don't want to spend a lot of time, I don't know. It's kind of a hard call. I heard someone else say that some of the other changes that they should make to the game to make it faster, which I think were ridiculous. I can't even remember what they were, but I think that's a legitimate thing to look at, because sometimes it does, like I said, irk me when they have one guy come in and pitch to one player and then take him out.
Yes, yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen baseball go through a few transitions here in the last maybe 10 years or so, and one of the biggest ones that a lot of people were against at first was replay. And, you know, I think that to a certain extent, there were certain plays that needed to be looked at. I hope they don't continue to keep changing that too much, because I do believe that you have to trust the umpires. And a lot of times they don't even reverse the call anyway. Like, it just, right. That wastes a lot of time in the replay side of things. So they're in doing this, they also have to look at how long it takes for replays and figuring out a way to shore that up and make that a little bit speedier of a, you know, a process, because that slows down a game just as much as multiple bullpen, you know, getting guys out of the bullpen. And so I understand the statistics side of it, like you were saying, but it is something where they have to figure out also the rules of how that would go in extra inning games. What are you allotted for that? Because you might need to use a guy every inning, because you're getting to those guys that don't really go very long. You don't have or you're going to be using your starters, and then that just, you know, runs your guys into the ground even faster as well. So that is, I know that they've been talking about trying to figure out ways to speed up the game, and I'm not entirely sure if that's the place that they need to look at. I know that they're trying to even watch the catchers and how many times they go out to the mound, because Joe Mauer is one mm-hmm. of the biggest ones who goes out like a couple times an inning. It felt like every time I've watched him play, he just likes to go and, you know, talk to the pitcher quite a few times, and that leads to longer games as well. You know, not everybody's a Burley pitcher. You know, no, we don't have Mark Burley on the mound every day getting through a game in an hour and a half. You know, wish you could. Yeah. Some of those games are nice because, you know, you get in, get out, and move on. But, yeah, you watch the Yankees, Red Sox games, or even Cubs games, and it seems like you're always, you know, getting into very, very long, drawn-out games that, you know, 2.5-3 hours is where you should be for a baseball game, and sometimes those can be 4 or 5 hours long.
Yeah, that doesn't happen too often.
Right, yeah.
But what about the days when you had starting pitchers who could go, you know, 8-9 innings? They you know, throw a complete game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember reading about Ferguson Jenkins and a lot of the Cubs. He'd have a high number of complete games, and that was something. But now, pitchers really only think they're going to pitch maybe 5-6 innings.
Yeah,
turn over the bullpen.
I think one of the biggest things you're going to see moving forward is these records of like 300 win pitchers. I think, you know, that's probably not going to happen ever again. We have five pitchers, starting mm-hmm. pitchers. That's not going to happen. And now you have such big bullpens. You have so many people coming out of the bullpen. Innings are cut down. So, and it's to preserve arms and health. And so it's supposed to elongate or make a person's career last a little bit longer for pitchers. But we'll see, because I think they're so careful about the 100 pitch mark that sometimes you're not actually moving. You're not even letting the pitcher get to a complete game when they're rolling. Oh, hit 100 pitch mark. Oh, I'll bring in the bullpen, and then
right. That
pitcher loses that game, or you know they give up the lead in a tie, and that's when you normally will see that temper tantrum from a pitcher of they work their butt off that entire game, and all of a sudden, bam, all that work is gone because the bullpen gave up that run. And who knows, that person might have been able to deal. He was already knowing what to do against that team, and it was working. And because of the 100-pitch mark, I think coaches have to let it go a little bit. That was one thing that was really nice about Ozzie Guillen. Most of the time, he let his pitchers pitch long into starts, and you saw it in the playoff run. He just let his guys go, and they had three complete game finishes by starters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows when that'll happen again.
Right. And you're speaking of temper tantrums, and that was Will Smith against the Cubs. He gave up those runs. But, yeah, it's something to look at with baseball.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll move on to the Bears, unless you have anything else that you want to talk about with the Cubs or White Sox. Was there anything else that you saw?
No.
Okay.
Nothing. I think we covered it pretty much. But the Bears, is it football season already? Oh, my God.
Yes. We have a preseason only, what, a week and a half away?
Yeah, I think the first game is, for the Bears anyway, is August 11th, and they will play the defending champion Broncos in preseason game.
That's exciting. You know, I'm always geared up for football season. I play fantasy football myself, and so I start getting my research done for fantasy football. I've started probably about 2-3 weeks ago just to kind of see where people are at in draft part of it. And so the Bears, you know, their main pieces, you've always, you know, you want to know, okay, what's Jay going to do? What's Mr. Cutler mm-hmm. going to come out with? Is he going to be consistent, or is he going to just, you know, show the bugaboos that seem to always pop up throughout the season of getting in pressure situations and making those, you know, just stupid mistakes of those interceptions that you just can't understand why he made the decision that he made instead of throwing the ball away. You saw that transition a little bit last year where, I don't know if it was Gase who was kind of just talking to him, it's better just to throw the incomplete pass than the interception or get the sack. And so he seemed to be a little bit better last year than what he was in prior years. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. What do you see with this team this year? You think that they can improve on what they did from last year?
I hope so. They should. You know, it's John Fox. He has a reputation that when he takes over a team in the second year, they usually do very well, making the playoffs and maybe even going deep into the playoffs. But you can't really judge with the Broncos because that team was pretty stacked when he got there. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, we haven't heard a lot about the Bears in the preseason. I mean, there hasn't been a buzz. You know, there have been reports about this is going on, that's going on. Mm-hmm. But I don't get the excitement, I guess because they didn't really play that well last season. But I don't know. I think that they probably will surprise some people. I'm worried about the backfield without Matt Forte, mm-hmm. and mentioned Cutler. Mm-hmm. So now he doesn't have that guy where if, in fact, he is in trouble, he can, you know, dump it off to Matt Forte, and then Matt can do something with it to maybe get a first down or something like that. We don't know if the backs that will replace him will be as good a blocker or if they'll be good catching the ball out of the backfield. So that's something we have to look at. And also, I'm wondering what Kevin White looks like. I haven't really mm-hmm. read mm-hmm. anything about him, the wide receiver. I've heard everything about Alshon Jeffrey and his choosing not to work out and everything that he's done. But what about Kevin White? How has he looked? So I guess starting this Thursday, we'll have a chance to find out.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to kind of see how this team looks, because they were pretty banged up on the receiving side of things for most of that season. It seemed like guys were going in and out so much that there were weeks that Cutler was throwing to like only the third or fourth option. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, having your one and two guys, how that helps this offense improve with the, you know, the changing of the guard in the backfield. Forte's been a steady back for quite a while for the Bears. So now where do you go? Is Jeremy Langford, is he the answer in the backfield, or is it one of the other guys? And that's what preseason wise it's exciting, is because you do get to kind of, all right, you get that competition, you get excited to see where your team could be. Preseason is hard to judge because the starters only play a part of the time, but you also get to look at the depth that you normally don't get to see throughout the regular season unless there's a blowout game. One of the things I'm really interested to see is how this defense is this year. Seems like John Fox, he's always very good at getting these guys who are just hungry and maybe the guy who isn't the best on paper, mm-hmm. but are just those gritty, I'm going to show you what I'm made of type of guys. And speaking of which, we had Peanut Tillman officially retire mm-hmm. on Friday as a Bear. They signed him for a day, and so he was known for his, you know, punch out of the ball. And if it wasn't for him, you know, during that Super Bowl year when they got to the Super Bowl, it seemed like he was always in the mix of those turnovers, be it a fumble or interception. And so you're hoping that, you know, there are some guys on this Bears defense that can show some of that toughness, because Tillman was one of those guys who was, you know, undersized, but he would go up against the Randy Moss or those big receivers and still be able to hold his own. And so you're hoping that there's some of that grit that a lot of Bears fans are so used to having on the defensive side of the ball. It seems like that toughness after Urlacher left and some of those other Lovie Smith guys have kind of, you know, that toughness has been gone for a few years. Mark right. Trestman, you didn't really see much from the defensive side of the ball. So hopefully John Fox is able to kind of fire up those guys and get some of that gritty toughness that we're known for here in Chicago with our football teams, because, you know, defense has always been what we've been known for in running the ball. And so we're not sure about the running side of it, and we definitely are a little unsure about that defense. So one of those things, if not both, need to really be shored up if the Bears are going to have a chance, you know, facing in their division a really tough team in the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, it looks like he's gearing up to bounce back. Jordy mm-hmm. Nelson is seeming to be coming back healthy again, and Eddie Lacy, they're saying, is looking pretty much back to form. He gained a lot of weight last year and was underperforming, so that's going to be a tough team, and that honestly I feel is still going to be the top team in the division. And you can't forget about the Vikings, because they were a very, very tough team last year as well. So we'll see how it goes with those two teams above them. And then you also have the Lions, and they're a team that's kind of in flux as well, with Calvin Johnson retiring. So it's exciting to see football being started all over again. And I'm excited for fantasy football season to start up as well.
Yeah, I think I am too. I might get involved with fantasy. The thing about the football season starting is that that usually brings fall, which usually brings winter. But it's good to get the guys back on the field. And I think it might take both of those backs to fill the shoes of Forte, because one might be better at catching, the other might be better at blocking, and John Fox likes to use multiple backs. Mm-hmm. He did that with the Panthers with Stewart and
D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he likes tough guys who are smart. So
yeah.
I think the defense has improved. And incidentally, talking about retired players, you mentioned Peanut Tillman. He's not retired yet, but Devin Hester was cut from Atlanta.
Okay.
So he's out there. I don't know if the Bears would be interested. But so that's another former Bear whose career is probably done.
Yeah. Who knows how much he has left in the tank. Yeah. He says he doesn't want to retire, but he might be forced to if teams aren't really interested in his services, because he was trying to be mainly a receiver. He wasn't doing very well as a return guy there. I think he had the first season there, he did pretty decent. But since then, he's definitely just had trouble finding a spot with the Falcons.
Well, yeah. So with as far as the Bears, it's going to be a pretty competitive division, I think, because all the teams, with the exception of Detroit, seem to be improved. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Green Bay Packers lost Greg Jennings, which was a surprise to me. I thought he was still a young guy, but he retired. Maybe it's because of an injury. But they have brought in some new guys. I think it'll be good. In Minnesota, another year for Teddy Bridgewater. So as a quarterback, he's got that much more experience. Of course, they have Adrian Peterson. And who's left? Just those. That's it. So
And they have a pretty stout defense.
Yeah.
That's definitely, Zimmer is their head coach. And he's Mike Zimmer. He's always a guy that has his back, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He's a player coach for sure. And so yeah, they take the page out of the Bears of tough running, tough defense. Just don't make mistakes. Right. And Teddy Bridgewater seems to be understanding that as long as he can keep his team in the game and not turn the ball over, the rest of that team around him should be able to keep them in a game with the defense they have.
Yeah, that is true. All right, that is the Bears. Anything else comes to mind about those monsters of the Midway?
No, I think we will move on to the Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls. The Bulls.
Not much has changed since last week's show. I was joking around here with Brian last week a little bit. I saw some news about Russell Westbrook possibly coming to the Bulls with a three team trade because of Dwayne Wade, but that wouldn't happen until middle of the season. And Brian kind of he brought me back down to earth and said, hey, this is just fantasy talk. But I did just see something about Russell Westbrook possibly going to San Antonio with a trade for Kawhi Leonard. But who knows? There's a bunch of trade rumors going on.
Would you want to actually mention that trade so that, in fact, it does happen, you can say that you said it first?
Sure, why not? Yeah. You hear it first here on Curse Radio, the no-look pass. Hopefully we have some breaking news for you that will be actually breaking sometime in the near future. But yeah, Bulls. Yeah, it's kind of quiet for the most part for the Bulls side of things. We have the Olympics coming up. I believe isn't Butler part of Butler is the one Bull.
He's on the team. And they played China a couple of days ago, and he only scored 2 points. And I think he got maybe 2 assists. So okay. Everyone else, they were. But in the Tribune, as far as Eastern Conference is concerned, mm-hmm. the Tribune thinks the Bulls will make the playoffs. Of course, it'll be the eighth spot. But they seem optimistic. I don't know. It's kind of interesting because they have a mix of veterans. They've got guys that require the ball, and some of them are kind of nicked. But, you know, if they, you know, you never underestimate the heart of a champion. And both Wade and Rondon, or Rajon, have won championships. Uh-huh. So who knows what the Bulls will be. I don't think anyone does. It looks like their bench could be pretty good, so...
Yeah, it seems like they're, I don't know if they're just really, really skittish about the point guard situation because of Derrick Rose and him getting hurt or what, but we have a pile of guards now. Like, mm-hmm. so many guards have been what pretty much we went after in this offseason of trades, and the one big guy that comes to mind is just... Robin Lopez, and he's the only big guy that I can think of that we've picked up other than all of the guards that we have now. Right. So we'll see. I don't know if this is because it's the Hoiberg system and they're trying to maybe planning on running a little bit of some small ball of running up and down the court, trying to take a page out of Golden State's handbook, but you gotta have shooters, and I don't really see the 3-point shooting where it's gonna come from unless you have a McDermott and Mirotić step up, because last year the Mirotić, he started off the season strong, but it seems like he got injured, and then when he came back he just couldn't get that stroke back, and then you had a few games with McDermott, he seemed to come off the bench and be doing a pretty decent job.
Well, they got that guy Kanan from the 76ers who's supposed to shoot the three well. I think he shot about 36%, maybe higher than that. And Schnell, if he's still on the team, mm-hmm. he can shoot a little bit. Hopefully he'll improve.
Right.
So they've got a little bit of 3-point shooting there. Maybe not as much as they'd like or that they've had in the past. But, mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. It looks like the Bulls management is just... All right, let's get this guy. They have no real plan. They're just adding pieces here and there.
Just to have a full roster.
Yeah, just, that looks interesting. Dwayne Wade, yeah, he's a big name. Let's get him.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. This should be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those teams that's like a hodgepodge of just random dudes, just on a team. And hopefully Hoiberg can figure out a way to get the best out of these guys. You know, when we had Thibodeau, it was... You knew he was going to get the most out of the guys. We're still unsure about Hoiberg because of what happened this past season, of just a team that was so talented that should have made the playoffs, and they underperformed all year, and they got hit by the injury bug. I'm not going to deny it. Almost every single one of their starters was out for a few games at the very least. And so it's hard to stay consistent when your guys aren't on the court. And it was the same issue the year before, but they made the playoffs. With Thibodeau. So we'll see what happens with the Bulls. It's definitely being prepared for the worst for my mindset. If they make the playoffs, I'll be like, oh, okay, great. Like it was definitely something I expected for our team this year. So I was very upset when they didn't make it this past season. And so if they make it next year with us not really having any high hopes at all for this team, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be tough to watch the Bulls, I think, this year coming up. But I'll watch them start off and see how the first few weeks go. And if they're holding their own, then, you know, it might be a better season than what I'm at least thinking.
Fortunately for them, they're in the Eastern Conference. So
they do have some chances there. I know that bottom end of the Eastern Conference playoff picture has always been, if you're around 500, you could even be under 500 and still make the playoffs. And you even saw that with the Western Conference. So NBA is changing quite a bit because it seems like it's becoming very top-heavy. So you have the top two or three teams on the Eastern Conference, and you have the top two or three teams in the Western Conference. And then from 4 to 8, all the way to maybe the 10th seed, you have teams that are only maybe 1 or 2 games difference between each team that's above them, and you have, you know, a fun playoff run when it gets to the end of the season. So moving on from the Bulls, unless you have anything else that you want to add.
No. Oh, just that they do have Jerry and Grant. I think he can shoot the three a little bit too.
So. Okay. Well, that's good. We can always use more three-point shooting because we'll be behind quite a bit, and so I'm sure at the end we're going to need to be throwing up some threes and whatnot. So, but we'll move on to the Blackhawks. It's also the off-season for them. I know that they just announced their preseason TV schedule, and they had their schedule for the moving forward for the season, and we'll see how they bounce back. They've lost a few players to free agency. Do you have a list at all of those guys
that they lost? I know they lost Teravainen, and he's one of my favorite players. Mm-hmm. I think Shaw or... Yeah, so, and the guys that they've replaced them with, how can I put this nicely? I guess I can't. Well, I don't know much about them, but hopefully they can develop into players that the Blackhawks can use in their system and will give them what they need in order to keep, because a lot of folks are worried that the Blackhawks' window is closing. But, you know, with Bowman there, they seem to be able to find good players. Mm-hmm. And if a player who's halfway decent comes to the Blackhawks and sees he has a chance to win a championship, then he's going to play that much better. But their preseason starts September 28th against the Penguins.
Okay.
And all the games are on Comcast Sports Network, except there's one game on WGN September 30th. And they play the Blues twice, the Red Wings twice, and the Penguins. So
okay, so they're pretty much sticking with the same team too for the preseason, which I think that's what they've been doing the last couple seasons. They seem to kind of all be in the same area doing their practicing and whatnot, and so I think that's probably what it ends up being, is logistics are a little bit easier for those teams to be able to play. You know, the Blackhawks, we have our guys, you know, we have the Taves. Patrick Kane and Taze, and you have Duncan Keith, and Seabrook is still here, and Hossa. We have Hjalmarsson. You know, I'm a big fan of Hjalmarsson myself, just because he always seems to just put his body on the line. He's one of those gritty players that just always seems to be in the right place at the right time. Just one of those just tough guys on the ice. And, you know, the rest of the team, I'm looking forward to seeing the sophomore year for on Kane's line, the other winger.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Panarin?
Panarin, yeah. Panarin, yeah. I think no one knew that he was that good. Like, I was surprised. Like, the two of them on the same line, it was impressive to see, because both of them have, it's kind of like Kane and then Kane light. You have guys that both are able to handle the puck so well. They shoot really, really well. And so a second season for Panarin in the National Hockey League, I think, should be fun to see. We need to get a little bit more depth on the that first line seemed to struggle a little bit. You know, the Taze line. So we'll see if Hossa, he's shooting for his 500th goal, and he's, I know that I saw something that he's hoping to basically get that real quick at the start of the season. And so if Hossa starts off strong, that'll definitely help take some of the pressure off of Taze himself on that first line. So we'll see. The third and fourth line is kind of up in the air for me. You know, when you lose Shaw and Teravainen, what are those next pieces? You know, and so we're good with our guys that have been there for all of these championships that we have gotten from the Blackhawks. Now we have all these new pieces that we're really unsure of, but Coach Q, he's awesome, and he's able to get a lot out of these players. And this is a team from the top down that always seems to get a lot out of their players. And so I wish the other the sports teams in this city would actually take a page out of the Blackhawks book and how they're recruiting players and how they're managing their players and the excitement that the fans have once again for the Blackhawks. Because, man, there were quite a few years that, well, being a Blackhawks fan, it was rough. You had trouble finding a Blackhawks game on the TV even. So, yeah, we shall see. I'm excited for the hockey season as well. It's probably my second favorite sport. It's fastly approaching as well as the football season. So we shall see how things go. Do you have anything else that you want to add about even any other teams or any big news that you've seen in the headlines, not for the Chicago sports teams, but maybe something else that is kind of shocking to you?
No, not anything shocking worth bringing up now, but keep my eyes open.
We did have the Kevin Durant. We didn't really touch on that last week. We did have Kevin Durant going to Golden State, which has been a big buzz going around for NBA, and you know, a lot of people not really enthused about that that transition for the league. A lot of people feel like that it automatically just gives Golden State the title for next year, but everybody thought that this year, and the end outcome ended up being the Cavs pulling it out in the end. So, you know, it's always fun when it's off season and there's trade rumors going around. You always kind of, man, I hope my team gets someone awesome. But this year didn't happen for our Bulls. So that's why we're talking about Golden State picking up Durant, because we didn't have anything else other than Dwayne Wade coming our way.
No, he's not bad.
But he's a couple of years past his prime, so.
Yeah.
But he was healthy last year, so.
We'll see.
But this is Brett.
And I'm Brian.
And this is the No Look Pass with Chris Radio. We look forward to chatting some more next week about some more sports. We definitely got our sporty mindset going today. And it was a good chat. Look forward to chatting with you next week there, Brian.
All right, you too, Brett.
Once again, this is No Look Pass. Have a good day.